Well, welcome to Perspectives, the political version of Perspectives that's going on all this month of July because of the multitude of races that are coming up in the primary and then, of course, the general election as well. Just about every constitutional office in Leon County is up for election this go-around, and a lot of regional races, too. We got a couple of state house races. We have two, count them, two congressional district races that we're going to have to decide, and many others as well. So what we are doing this month right here on WFSU and also for FSU is to bring these candidates to you so you can make a determination of who you support and who you are going to vote for in the upcoming electorals. And before we begin, a reminder, you're always invited to be part of Perspectives via phone and email. 414-1234 is the local telephone number. It's 800-926-8809. If it's long distance from you to us, perspectives@wfsu.org is the email address, and our Twitter account is @WFSUPerspective. This Perspectives episode will be telecast tonight at 7:30 Eastern Time on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4 in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. And you'll also be able to see it online at our Perspectives page, which you can find linked from WFSU.org/elections2016. Along with a lot of neat stories that we have been able to glean from these programs and beyond during this electoral cycle. Today we are focused on the race for Leon County Property Appraiser. A very rare situation because a guy by the name of Hartsfield has held this office for what, nearly 30 years, something like that? 24 years. Thank you, Mr. Akinyemi. So this is a red letter day. A constitutional office is open for a property appraiser, and we have all four contenders for that position who are joining us today on Perspectives. Oh, by the way, I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to go around from my right and your left on the radio and on the TV. Running as a Democrat, Mr. Akinyemi, who used to be, as I believe, a Leon County Commissioner.
Yes, sir. I was very honored to serve in that position. First of all, good morning to you, Tom, and your listening audience. I am very honored to be running again, and this time to put my full complement of skills as an architect, a planning instructor, a former county commissioner, a former chairman of the Value Adjustment Board to use for our county. I feel I can best serve our constituents in this capacity, and as we talk further, I can explain that into more details.
Thank you very much, sir. Right next to you is a fellow Democrat by the name of Doug Will. Good morning, Mr. Will. I think you have been associated with that office for a while, have you not?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. I have 25 years in the property appraiser's office, the last 16 as the chief deputy for Bert Hartsfield, who is retiring. Prior to that, back in the 80s, I was a home builder. So that was a tough decade with double-digit interest rates, et cetera. And by 1991, I was in the appraiser's office and just loved every minute of it.
Well, we'll talk more about your philosophy and approach to the operation. But we also want to say hi to Clay Ketchum, who is also running as a Democrat. Three Democrats in squaring off here in the upcoming primary election. And Mr. Ketchum, welcome. And a little bit about yourself, sir.
Sure. thanks for having us, Tom. I appreciate it. I'm Clay Ketchum, and I was born and raised in Tallahassee, Leon County, and I have experience both in the property appraiser's office and outside in private practice. Actually, it's about 40 years. I started with the Leon County Property Appraiser's Office in 1976, spent 5 years down there, and then the last 35 or so years, I have been privately employed with Ketchum Appraisal Group, and we've had the good fortune to train a lot of good appraisers that have come through our shop over the years. So that's a little bit about me. I'm married. I have met my wife in the ninth grade at Cobb Middle School, and we've been married for 43 years now. We have three adult children and five grandchildren.
Well, congratulations, sir. Boy, I can't wait to see Christmas around your house. That'll be great.
It's great.
We're right next door to you, running as a no-party affiliate, Greg Lane. Mr. Lane, thank you for coming. A little bit about yourself, sir, if you would.
Good afternoon, Tom, and to your listeners. My name is Greg Lane. I've been in town for about 30 years. My father retired here from the military, so the entire family lives here. I've actually been an appraiser in Tallahassee for 23 years. I'm also a realtor, heavily involved with the Builder Association, mortgage bankers, realtors. My family, I'm married to my wife, Lori, my son, Chase, daughter, Mackenzie, my stepson, Forrest, and a graduate of Lincoln High School in 1988 and proud graduate of FSU in 93.
Very good, sir. Before we get into a discussion of the office itself, which I think still remains a great mystery to so many people, we have received an email already. Don't know who sent this, but maybe they can identify themselves later. He says, I understand that three of the candidates are coming out of the private sector, of which two may have appraisal businesses. What are the candidates planning to do with these businesses if elected, and do they see any conflict of interest if they plan on family or business associates continuing operating them? So those folks who are still in the private sector. Let's go back around the corner here. Greg, what's the deal with your firm?
I do see a conflict there. I certainly could not be appraising property privately and then also be the Leon County property appraiser. To me, it just wouldn't be ethical. So my plan would be to divest myself of the company. I could probably still be the owner, but I may not want to do that. I want to focus full time. I want to be the Leon County property appraiser. I want it to be my next career.
Okay. Mr. Ketchum, you also have an appraisal business. So.
Yeah. And my love for the appraisal business developed when I was with the property appraiser's office. It's one of those things where you've got to be passionate about whatever you do in life. One of the people that I know that is passionate about their job is Coach Mike Martin, who was my coach when he first got out of FSU. And Coach Martin loves baseball. He lives it, eats it, breathes it. He is just committed to it. I got that fire when I was at the property appraiser's office and I wanted to learn how to do more. And so I took my vacation time and my own credit card debt and went around the country and took the courses that were required for private practice, and I got designated. And so I left the property appraiser's office and developed a really strong appraisal firm. Our firm's been in Tallahassee for over 35 years, and we're really, really have been blessed with good clients and a great deal of work. I'm also blessed with three adult children. One of them has worked for me for close to 20 years now, and I think he is ready for daddy to go. And so I think he's wanting to take the reins of this company, and I'm excited to do this. And it's sort of me coming back to that love, that passion that I had. I think that my life experiences, both in the property appraiser's office and outside in private practice, give me a unique advantage for the taxpayers of Leon County in the way that I can run that office and speak the language of appraising. So with that said, you know, I love the business, and I don't see, you know, it would be a conflict. I can't continue doing appraisals. I won't. And if there is any conflict with our office and in my former company, which I won't have any controlling interest in, we'll let somebody else in the office, a chief deputy or somebody, deal with it, and I won't be involved in it.
Okay. And Mr. Akinyemi, you don't see any problem here with the architectural firm, but what would you do with that if you get this office?
This is a good question that I've pondered quite a bit. Thankfully, I don't have any such conflict. I'm not a practicing appraiser. As an architect, I do appraising, because when each time you build a building, you're supposed to tell the client how much it's going to cost them, how much the building is worth. So, but people probably noticed in the last 2 years, I've kind of really slowed down my architectural business. I'm actually focusing on my teaching. I'm a planning instructor at FSU. I'm actually doing my PhD, believe it or not, at this age. And I'm pretty much close to finishing. I've done all my coursework. So I'm going to continue to do more research, and so that doesn't have any such conflict. But the thing that really actually worried me the most about this job is people that either have tons and tons of tracts of land, or clients that I represent that have tons of land. You may divest yourself, you may not be yourself personally involved, but as long as you have such conflict and such interest, it's going to taint the way you appraise and how you value it. So that's an issue that we need to discuss into more details, that how your representation of large acres of tract owners affect your neutrality ability to represent all citizens equally, irrespective whether they have a one little house or they have 50 tracts of land. Because I see that as even a bigger conflict than actually really practicing appraisal.
Okay, and Mr. Wold, not going to let you off the hook here either because you've been inside the property appraiser's office. But when a case comes up for appraisal and it is a very good friend or it is a relation or something like that, how do you handle that kind of thing and keep everything above board and equanimous and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, excuse me. Good question. We go straight to appraisal theory. There's three ways to appraise property: the cost, the market, and the income approach. We pull the data for all three approaches to value, present them to the taxpayer, and show them what we got. We say, here's what we're looking at. What do you see? We have to be straight textbook with the appraisal theory.
Okay. One thing that we want to talk about here in some detail on our perspectives here, and if you're just joining us, we're speaking with the four contenders for Leon County Property Appraiser's Office, Akinyemi, Clay Ketchum, Greg Lane, and Doug Will, is why this is such a significant office. It doesn't attract the kind of attention and, shall we say, sexy media involvement of something like the sheriff's race or state attorney or school superintendent that we had here on the program yesterday. But how this office touches virtually every person in Leon County, and we want to get into that. So be thinking along those lines as we come up on a mandatory timeout, which is bearing down upon us. But first, we will remind you that primary bandwagon is taking place August 8th for Leon County races. That is a program that will air at 7 o'clock on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4, in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. That'll be an opportunity for all of the Leon County office seekers to get up, do a 3-minute whatever they want to say, bringing their backers and family and friends with yard signs and everything else to hoop and holler and show their support. And then we will have primary bandwagon number 2 coming up on August 10th. That'll be for Gadsden and Wakulla County races, also at 7 on 4FSU. And that'll lead us into the general election bandwagon that'll take place on September 26th. You are listening to Political Perspectives, the Leon County Property Appraisers Race, right here on WFSU. A quick timeout and we'll return. Once a year, if you are a property owner of the residential or the commercial variety, you get a little notice from the Leon County Property Appraiser's Office, which you open, I know, with great anticipation to find out just what your property taxes are anticipated to be for the upcoming year. And that's a big thrill for me, and I'm sure it is for you too. But it's very important because that is the basis of our property taxes and the laws that apply to the calculation of those taxes are pretty technical, and you want to make sure you have someone in the property appraiser's office who kind of knows what they're doing. So that's why we're talking to all four contenders for the Leon County Property Appraiser's Office on our political perspectives today on WFSU. Your comments and questions at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. Why is that important? I gave a little thumbnail on that, but let's start with you, Greg Lane, and go back around here. Why should the average person care who sits in the office of Leon County Property Appraiser?
Well, most of us are either a tenant or an owner, so you're impacted. Imagine if your property assessment was incorrect and you're a tenant or it's too high. Guess who pays that? If your payment goes up for the owner, then who's going to be impacted by that as a tenant? So a lot of tenants say to me, why would I care? Well, it could impact you as well. Most of us own property. It could impact you. You want to make sure that tax assessment is fair and accurate. From the standpoint of why is the office important, you're looking at over 50% of Leon County's budget money comes from taxes. Look, over $120 million with a budget of $246 million. So this, I mean, this is huge. This is, we don't have the tourism here that you might have in, say, Panama City. Our taxes come from property tax. So we want to make sure that's correct. And then as an owner, you want to make sure it's correct for you. Fortunately, if it's not, they have excellent customer service. You can call them up and they'll take care of it for you. But we're looking at valuing over 100,000 properties in Leon County. That's a big task to make sure those are all correct. That's mass appraisal. And then the other thing is the website is heavily used by Zillow, for example, by other government entities, by owners all day long. The website is huge. The tax assessment's a huge portion of this, making sure all that's correct. So it's very important. It touches everybody in some facet.
Okay. Mr. Clay Ketchum, your thoughts on that, sir?
I agree with Greg. It to me, this is the single most important job in Leon County government because it's where the rubber meets the road. It is where the taxing base comes from. Whether you're a renter, a tenant, you're a property owner, or you're a heavy commercial user property owner, you all are paying for that sales tax or for that tax, ad valorem tax, on your property. And if it's not done fairly and if it's not done correctly, then there's an imbalance in the system, and it's unfair for another taxpayer to shoulder that burden while the other person has an unfair advantage just because of the assessment. So it all begins, in my opinion, with the simple fact that it needs to be right. The amount of the value that is assessed needs to be correct. And there are eight criteria under the Department of Revenue. They need to not only be considered but applied in the property appraiser's office. And I have had a situation where they said they were considered but they weren't applied. I want to apply those eight criteria to every property owner's property. I think that the biggest issue is in the next 4 to 10 years – Leon County just adopted an extension of the sales tax money. This is going to generate approximately $4 million, $2 million a year over the next 2 years in this economy. I see our community, I see Leon County on a tipping point, and I think that that tipping point is going to cross over into new retailers coming into this market. If you look at our growth exponentially over the last 2 or 3 years, it's been a lot of hotels. It's been retails, and for gosh sakes, we definitely need another hamburger joint and another mattress store. Those are just popping up on every corner. The mall is being redeveloped. It's incredibly important that that mall retailer gets his assessment right. If it's over-assessed, it could sink the project. If it's under-assessed, it's creating that unfair tax advantage for other property owners who have retail that have to shoulder that weight of the full assessment. So it needs to be in balance. And the property appraiser's office, two things. One is the title of the office is Leon County Property Appraiser. There's only two people on this panel that are truly licensed and certified and can legally appraise property. The others are not. They are not appraisers. They are governmental workers or that's an architect. And when the people come in to appeal an assessment that are strong in this area of real estate are not – they're not bringing their software program developer. They're not bringing their architect. They're bringing their A game for appraisers to argue that assessment. I have virtually every credential – that one can have in the commercial or residential field, I can go toe to toe without having to go outside the department and hire an expert to support my appraisal or to support our value. I'm the guy. I'm the guy that you would hire to do that because nobody in the commercial or residential arena could match my credentials or my experience. I'm the guy. And I think that's what makes the difference is – you know, everybody talks fairness, integrity, credibility, but the proof of that is when you expose yourself to the market, to the buyers and sellers in the marketplace, and they do business with you for over 35 years, you have demonstrated to the world that you have those factors. You have credibility.
Well, let's give a chance here for Mr. Will and Mr. Akinyemi to not only talk about the significance of the office itself, but again, hit up some of your qualifications as Mr. Ketchum was doing, please.
Sure. Greg had some great points about the budget being very important. The property tax base is about half the budget in Leon County. So your quality of life is touched by this office. Here's what sets me apart from the other candidates, and that's the fact that you have to appraise almost 110,000 parcels every year, everything in the county every year. And that requires experience in the application and the calibration of appraisal models. While you're dealing with mass appraisal, I have that experience. I have extensive training from an international association in that arena. And here's another reason why the office is significant to the listeners and viewers out there, Tom. It's because there's about 55,000 to 60,000 exemptions that have to be applied every year. So what you want is someone with experience in this office that knows how to produce fair and equitable assessments for over 100,000 parcels, and at the same time, make sure that you get the benefits that you need to receive from the exemptions.
Okay. Mr. Akinyemi, your thoughts, sir.
Yes. In the last 6 months, I must have spoken to over 5,000 fellow residents. And one thing that we talk about is that how the home is their single biggest investment. And you are right, Tom. If you want a property once a year, you get a trim notice. One thing people don't notice, there's a little fine line that tell you the deadline to apply for exception. For this cycle, September 11th. If you miss that, you have to wait till the next year before you get an exception. And for me, we all have technical skills. I mean, not to disagree with my good friend Clay, as an architect, I can appraise property from both the market value and the comparable value, but I can also do it by the single component of each building component. So let's not fool ourselves. All four of us can appraise property. So that, to me, is not a distinction among us. The distinction really is what other knowledge and skills we bring. I tell my colleagues they probably have bigger depth of knowledge in appraising than I do. I give them that. But I have a broader base of experiences. As a former county commissioner, I know about the valorem tax basis. I mean, I know how we set the millage rate. I know Save Our Home Amendment. I know the intentions and how all that work. But for me, though, you have staff. I mean, give Doug a credit for all his technical skills. As the property appraiser elect, your job is not to really appraise property itself. It's to manage, administer, and oversee and be in a leadership role. And as a leader, you set the tone for your staff in terms of really being accessible and being fair to all people. Doug talked about we have all these exceptions, 55 of them. How many people know about those? Maybe one or two. So you don't talk about that only when you're trying to get elected. You go to the community all year round. I use Ion Sanchez and Doris Malloy as my template for how this office should work. Every time there's an event, they have booths. They are telling people about how to take advantage of the opportunity that's available. When I was the commissioner, I was the chair of the Value Adjustment Board. So I actually mediate disputes. If you file for grievance, I'm the one that actually chair the committee that discusses whether we should approve or disapprove that. And I see how that system is not very equitable. If you have friends in the office, if you are in the business, you know what to do. If you're a single homeowner, you have no clue. So my change that I'm going to bring to this office to really be more transparent and to be more accessible, to be in the community telling people how to minimize their tax breaks. We have technology. I have to give it to Hartsfield. It's done a great job. When I moved here in 86, I used to go to the plane shop to get a paper and say, I want that pitch. Now you can go online. And I use that system almost every single day as I do my work. But we have to educate our citizens. We have to give them opportunity to really get the maximum benefit of the office. And that's what I don't see us doing right now. So if you elect me, I can assure you, and you've known from my demonstrated experience, that I'm going to be very even-handed with all citizens, irrespective of their means and ability. I'm going to be available. You can reach me directly. I'm going to get you resolved as quickly as possible. So it's not just about the technical skill of assessing. It's about leadership. It's about representing all people equally. To me, that's what set this person going to replace Atfield apart from anybody else.
You mentioned something, Mr. Akinyemi, a magic word called exemptions. Yes. And hanging on the line here is Caitlin, who I think has a question about that very matter. Caitlin, hi. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi. Thank you.
Go right ahead.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity to call in. My question does pertain to exemptions. My parents are getting older and we're starting to think about options for them, and I understand there's an exemption available if your elderly parents or maybe your grandparents live with you, and I was wondering if you could explain this and how it works and just kind of speak to this exemption for me.
Okay, let's go around the table, and we'll go back in the other direction. Mr. Akinyemi, we'll start with you, and then Mr. Will, and catch him and go that way and wind up with Mr. Will.
One of the ones that I'm most familiar with for our veterans exception, other than the homestead exemption. Maybe Doc can explain better the exemption regarding to grandparents living with you. I'm not very familiar with that. But I do know that we have so many of them, and we need to really make it accessible right under the homepage. You can click on here to learn more about them. We're not making them accessible for people to learn about them. So it's not so much for me to memorize all those things offhand, but it's to be able to have our system such that those are very, very transparent. So we should redesign our website, which has been redesigned lately, by the way. The only difference that was done, instead of having just but asked for the pictures shown, now we are showing two pictures. That's not the kind of change we need for that website. We need our website to be more changed in a way that serves people better. So we should be able to say, click here to see all the exemptions. We should be able to describe what those are and how to go about them. Also, that should not be an ELA thing. You should be able to, if you have a structural damage to your building, that's another exception that you can get for that. You should be able to call and get that inspected within a week or two so that you can take advantage of all these things. So, ma'am, I hope that you could be able to call the office as soon as we finish this program and they can explain that, or maybe, again, Doug can do that. But regardless, we just need to make the system more transparent and more easy to use and to learn about all these exemptions. And by the way, one thing we haven't talked about is agricultural exemption. That's one of the most abused exemptions. People have property that agricultural, maybe 20, 30 years ago, they bought it over, they changed the use, but they don't change the classifications. And that's something that we're losing revenue on, that we really need to talk about and go into how to make that abuse to be minimized.
Okay, well, Mr. Will, let's talk first about the exemptions and then maybe anything else that you wanted to throw in as far as, again, increasing the accessibility of information. As we know, the legislature has a tendency to sometimes double or even triple the number of exemptions from year to year.
Sure. Let me try to pinpoint straight to the caller's question about an exemption for elderly parents or grandparents living in the house. There is an exemption for that. And what it we commonly call it the granny flats exemption. And what it means is if you add on to your house and your elderly parent or grandparent moves into that addition, the value increase because of that addition is not taxed until granny moves out. So you need to check a caller with the property appraiser's office, of course. By doing so, you can go online. I will say this. Somebody mentioned it earlier about the property appraiser's website. Many of you may not know, in the mid-90s, Bert Hartsfield and this office won an international award for being the very first property appraiser's office in this country to have a searchable database online. Nowadays, it's an extension of the office. Everybody expects it. It's there. Every property appraiser's office now has a website. We've been a leader in getting information out, being accessible to the public, and I'm very proud of that. But thank you for the call.
Okay, Mr. Ketchum.
Well, I think Doug, you know, accurately explained it. There's also some other issues involved in terms of elderly parents and homestead exemptions and the additional value that could be created, as well as certain income limits that may affect one's ability to achieve an additional exemption. I do want to, you know, and so I don't have anything to add to what Doug said. Doug's taking care of it really well. I just want to add one thing for clarification. My colleague, Mr. Akinyemi, has said that he is an appraiser. In Florida, that's a violation of the law if you're appraising property without a license. The only licensed appraisers on this panel are myself and Mr. Lane. Estimating the cost of a structure does not estimate value because there's the depreciation that needs to be applied, which only someone in the valuation realm can do. You can't do that and not violate the law of the DBPR and the Division of Real Estate.
Okay, we'll give another opportunity for the other licensed appraiser here to talk, Mr. Lane. Go ahead.
Thank you, yes. The exemption, I think, was explained well by Mr. Will, familiar with the granny flat exemption. There are so many others, and I think as Akeem was saying earlier, we probably can do a better job of letting people know what they are. A lot of folks just don't know, and imagine if there's a $25,000 exemption you don't know about and you didn't take advantage of it for a year, you're paying a lot more in taxes. So I think it's important that we do a better job of letting the public know what those are. And then to build on what Mr. Will said about the website, not only is it fantastic for searching for sales data and locating sales in your neighborhood, for example, which a lot of people don't know, but you can also look at the size of your lot. You can determine it with the area calculator. You can also look at the lot dimensions. You can click to the FEMA maps. There's a link there now. There's also a link to Leon County Zoning, school zones, and tax collector. So the website, which is the face of a Leon County property appraiser, is very good. I think the challenge going forward will be to maintain that because the only thing constant in real estate and technology is change.
Is change, constant change. Right. And we're changing away from our political perspectives momentarily for a quick timeout and then back with the four contenders for Leon County Property Appraiser. 414-1234, the number to call locally. It's 800-926-8809. If it's long distance and perspectives at WFSU.org is the email. And we'll be back and take those calls and continue our discussion with our panel in just a moment. If you're just joining us, a reminder that Political Perspectives is on the air 7:30 this evening on 4FSU. In fact, throughout the month of July, as we have our various candidate forums, they will be broadcast the evening that they appear live on the radio on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4, in Leon, Gadsden, McCullough, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. Leon County Property Appraiser is what we're talking about, and George is on the line. Let's go to George now. Hi, welcome to Perspectives, George. Hello, George.
Hey, there you are. You know, I'm very concerned about what seems to be an overabundance of student housing that's all of a sudden cropped up in the last number of years. You know, it just seems as though everywhere you look, they're clearing lots, you know, for trees and such, and building more and more housing.
Well, let's throw this over to the panel because I know there had been some concern in the real estate community in this city, George, about a potential rental property bubble when it comes to student residential property. Let's start with you, Mr. Lane. Any thoughts on that? It's nothing that really the property appraiser's office can do as far as saying, no more, that's it. But how does that impact that office?
No, certainly. George, it's a good question. I'm concerned about the student property. I think we have several entities building them in town, but they're not all talking to each other and say, hey, guys, let's not oversupply this. The reality is that most of the students now are saying, Mom and Dad, I want to be closer to FSU. So several of the projects, say, on Tharp or Hartsfield or the further you go north are being completely abandoned, but students are not gravitating there. They're gravitating closer to FSU and sometimes even saying, hey, I don't need a car now because I can walk to school. So those places which have very, very high rent, in some cases as much as $800 a month, per room, are very popular because of the proximity. What concerns me is the ones that are further away. So I think we do have an oversupply of that. Now, as far as apartments in general, I think we'll continue to see more of them because home ownership, as important as that is in Leon County, it's becoming more expensive. Not everybody can afford the first-time home. A lot of folks are going to need an apartment, maybe even a one-bedroom. So more developers are now talking to me about maybe doing one- and two-bedroom apartment complexes to satisfy the need for housing for folks who can't afford their first home or townhome.
Okay. I also noticed that there have been a number of neighborhoods, previously single-family homes, that turned into student rental housing that are now unoccupied because a lot of the students have migrated to that college town area and some of the other high-end rental properties that are closer to campus. Is that depressing property values and perhaps causing a problem? I don't know. What do you think, Mr. Ketchum?
Well, you know, and this is from real-world experience. We're appraising a 62-unit apartment complex on West Pensacola Street right now. We just finished with another one a little closer in that was about 50 units. So I'm deeply involved in this issue of what's going on. And George is right. The population of Florida State University is not going to grow. That is, they have said that. So Florida State University's student population is basically capped. FAMU is not growing exponentially in terms of students. And Tallahassee Community College has – I mean, I think it could grow. I think it's the new wave. I think you will see some development there in that. But the student housing market was developed as a result of Florida State under a previous administration that said we're no longer building any student dorms. That changed, and they started building on-campus student dorms. All the time, this new redevelopment with city funding or supplemental funding developed along Gain Street. The people that are outside that have apartment complexes on the outside of this unique area are experiencing two things, rent reductions, and they're experiencing higher vacancies. With those two things, their property is worth less than it was. Now, whether it's worth the assessment or not, I don't know. But that is an issue, and those are cash flow-driven properties. They are directly purchased based on the amount of net operating income that those properties developed. So that's where, you know, when an apartment owner comes in with a complaint, there needs to be somebody at the top of the spear. They need to be talking to the property appraiser that can understand those nuances of that market and make adjustments to the software program that will allow for that on a distinguished or a distinct basis for those properties that are identified as outside of that influence.
Your assessment of the impact there, Mr. Will.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, when they started College Town and what we call the Madison Mile, the Madison Street running from the Civic Center out to the in what used to be the intramural fields, some of the developers used to advertise walkability scores so that you could send your students there and they can walk to campus. And they're very hot properties. They're very desirable. And students are moving there and creating an income stream, and they are selling. So here's the real question. As those ones further out that do not have the walkability aspect to it, as they drop in value, how do you address that in the property appraiser's office, and how do you become responsive? Every year, we send out about 6,000 letters to commercial property owners and, in essence, asking them this. Do you lease this property? And if so, send me your income statement or write it on the back of the form here. What's your rent? What are your expenses? So we can see what your net operating income is. And that's how we become responsive to them. If they don't send the information back and then we end up sending the notice of taxes late in the year and they have an issue with it, our door is always open. They come in, talk to us, and we can go from there.
Well, that's a hefty moving target, Mr. Akinyemi, isn't it?
Yes, it is. George, I want to thank you very much for your observation. This trend has continued to bother me as well. And from my observation and involvement, there are two things responsible for it. First of all, federal government in 2009, when they passed the Recovery Act, they have a hefty portion of a student dormitory construction loan. That really flourished their industry. Secondly, the tightening of the private mortgage industry made it difficult for people to actually buy individual homes. So even people who are not students are actually more renting. We've lost homeownership in Tallahassee in the last 5 years, and we need to change that trend. And people often say, well, you can't do anything about it, you know, but I disagree with that. Property appraiser, any elected official, have the responsibility to advocate and to educate. And that's what we all can do. When I was a commissioner, I was heavily involved at the Federal Association of County and the leadership team. We go to Washington twice a year. We go to legislature down here in the capital, and we tell them how all these things impact us and our citizens. So we have the duty to help to change that. As an architect, I love rehabilitation. I love restoration. A lot of dorm at FSU has been demolished in the last year alone. In the past, it used to be that people really rehabilitate. But because of the loans that were only for new construction, people are just building. We can't just do that just because that's what is easy to do. We have to make some hard decisions. And I think all of us as a community need to really avert this bubble that might be imminent if we don't change course in that direction. And win or lose, I'm going to continue to advocate and help educate people in this regard.
Okay. Mr. Lane, for a brief follow-up, please, sir.
Yeah, brief follow-up. Just one thing I was thinking about, neighborhoods, for example, Forest Heights, Scenic Heights, Holly Hills, these are up and down Tharp Street. These are neighborhoods that became very popular with students as the market was as there were less student housing. So students were gravitating to these properties, in some cases two or three students per house. So a lot of the neighborhoods were upset, hey, this is going to impact our property values. What's happened now that more apartments have been built and student housing by FSU is now millennials are rediscovering these homes. So the good news is the students are not as interested in the properties up and down Tharp as they were before. But what is happening is we're creating more homeownership, which for me is a passion, create homeownership in the South Side and Northwest Side, because that does nothing but help our just our economy in general. Same with neighborhoods like Atkinmeyer Drive, Seminole Manor, Mabry Manor. These are neighborhoods where students were very populated in. Now that they're moving out, now we're getting first-time home buyers in these homes. So I'm on the board with Tallahassee Lenders Consortium. One of the things we do is renovate homes and help try to create new homeowners. So there, it's not – the amount of apartments and the amount of student housing can actually be a good thing for other parts of town if you look at it from that perspective.
Okay, very good. Let's go back to the phones here. We were talking about a potential undervaluing of some property. Larry is worried about something going in the other direction. Hey, Larry, thanks for holding on. Welcome to Perspectives.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. I thank everybody's here. And first, I want to thank everybody for dealing with the scam that is Gain Street. And but I've got two issues, and one is the unwittingly, I believe that the appraiser ends up being an accomplice when we have the boom caused by the Duval State Cartel of the artificial inflation of residential real estate, which ends up with us paying higher taxes than we actually should be due. And also affects the adjoining properties of people that in well-established neighborhoods anytime they have the kind of gentrification. The other issue is, I think that it needs to be dealt with, is the fact that renters, although they pay the same taxes and receive the same services as the rest of the people in this community, they are not afforded the same equitable distribution of like when we have this Save Your Homes Act. I think as long as the landlord can prove that he passes on those reductions to the tenants, that he should be eligible for a reduction in taxes as well.
Okay, let's go around since time is limited here, Larry, but a real good point on that. And we do have the Save Our Homes Amendment, which offers an exemption for homesteaded property. If you live there, you get that exemption automatically, but that does not apply to commercial property. Well, let's start with Mr. Will. We'll kind of randomize this a little bit here.
Sure. The Homestead Save Our Homes exemption does apply to single-family homes. All other properties other than homestead properties do have a cap. It was passed in 2008's Amendment 1. That cap is 10%. Now, things aren't going up 10%, but at one point they may have, so they get that cap. But it's only on the non-school millage. In other words, the school board taxes a number that's 10% higher than the city and county. So you do have Save Our Homes, which directly impacts the homestead properties, and those are capped at 3% or the consumer price index, whichever is less. Just FYI, this year that CPI is 0.7%. That's as much as the value of your Save Our Homes, your homesteaded house can rise.
Okay. Is there not also another constitutional amendment that we're looking at here that's going to impact that in some way, shape, form, or fashion? that's coming up as far as a modification of Save Our Homes?
I haven't seen a modification of the Save Our Homes. You know, in the original Save Our Homes, 1992, and there was a modification in 2008's Amendment 1, which gave an extra $25,000 exemption, but that, again, does not count on the school millage. And it also gave you portability of your Save Our Homes benefits. Before 2008, when you moved houses, you could not take those benefits with you. You had to start over at the market value, even though you might have been capped for years. After 2008 now, the amount of value you're not paying taxes on in this house, you take to your new house and not pay taxes on it there.
Okay. Any quick thoughts, gentlemen? Let's go around the corner. Mr. Lane, any?
Yeah, I just – Doug did a great job explaining portability. Save Our Homes 92, which is Amendment 10, and Amendment 1, which a lot of people have no idea that even exists at 10%. Hopefully commercial owners do. But I want to make sure everybody's clear that as we talk about these things, that the property appraiser is not responsible for taxing you. The taxes are going to be driven by the Leon County School Board, Northwest Florida Water Management District, Leon County, and the City of Tallahassee.
Okay. Mr. Akinyemi, then Mr. Kitchen.
Yeah, I think Larry made a good point. And I know what is done, this is in the past, but we have to be mindful in the future. I think sometimes people succumb to pressure. When there was a boom, people were overestimating house values. Property could have put their foot down and said, no, we're not gonna go there with you. But inflating the property value, they're able to get more loan and bigger home or upside down loans. People know me as a commissioner that I go purely on the facts and I don't succumb to special interests or pressure. That's one thing I have as a reputation for being able to look at things from the factual standpoint and make my independent decisions. And that quality is important. Again, this is not about me personally appraising individual home. It's about me being a leader in an office and setting the tone for how we do things. The culpability of the property appraiser office during those era could not be really undermined. And I think Larry pointed that out. So you need somebody who is going to be, and I use the word unbiased and uninfluenced and independent in their opinion and be confident and bold enough to make the right decision for all people of Leon County. So again, thank you for asking that important question. And I hope that people will judge that potentiality in everybody and in my case, of course, the proven record of being able to do that.
Okay. And Mr. Ketchum.
Well, to answer George's question, he's trying, as I understood it, he's trying to say as long as the savings and assessment results in a reduction in taxes, that is passed on to the tenant. I believe that's my gist of what he was saying. If you've got homestead exemption, that's your primary residence, so there is no savings on to the tenant. Your assessment can stay the same. Your assessment can go down, but your taxes can go up. It has nothing to do – we have nothing to do with the amount of tax you pay. We have a responsibility to make sure that your assessment, which is the basis of that tax, is fair and equitable to everyone concerned.
And finally, one last question here, and that will have to end our program. What about the appeals process? I get that trim notice. I go, what? This is nuts. Is the current process in need of revision, or are we good to go? And let's just start with Mr. Ketchum and then Mr. Lane, Mr. Will, and Mr. Akinyemi.
Well, and I appreciate you asking the question because I'm the only person running for office who's actually been hired as the professional to hear tax appeals by Leon County. I think I'm the only one that's ever appealed an assessment personally. And I'm the only one who has won and lost these assessment appeals. So I'm intimately familiar with the process. It's a difficult process. And in my opinion, it's one that's stacked in favor of the property appraiser. It is not in favor of the property owner. The property owner in an appeals process has to provide his information, the data that he's going to use in his assessment evaluation or appeal process to the property appraiser well before the property appraiser has to exchange data with him. It's not an across-the-aisle exchange of data at one point in time. The property appraiser gets the opportunity to review it and then to make their appeal. It's unfair. And one last thing is that the property appraiser does mass appraising. And here's my problem.
Okay, we're going to have to move here, guys. Okay. Mr. Lane, please.
I'll just back up real quick. We need to explain what TRIM is. That's Truth in Millage. That will come out in August. I think the Property Appraiser's Office does a good job of letting people know what's coming out. We all see it in the mail. I don't have a problem with that process, and you do have 25 days. I think what Clay's talking about more is evaluation board afterwards if you have an issue with it. And I haven't been as involved in that. But the TRIM notice part, I think they do a good job.
Oh, okay, Mr. Will, quickly.
Yeah, the Value Adjustment Board is hired by, scheduled by the clerk of courts, and they run by statutes. We have no input there. I will tell you this, that I have appeared before them many times. 400 filed last year. Four of them actually went to the board.
Okay. Mr. Ocken, you have
just two quick points. Clay, please, before you use the word only, do your facts. I recently appealed a townhome assessment, and I won.
Okay, secondly, Mr. Akinyemi, we're going to have to leave it right there. Okay. I am so sorry. Perspective is produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox, Lydell Rawls, and I'm Tom Flanagan, along with the TV crew. Next week on Monday, we continue with Leon County Supervisor of Elections right here on Political Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.